Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant,
here on Blog Talk Radio, where we come from allpoetry.com, one of the internet's largest poetry groups. And inside that beautiful website, we are Team of Voices, a group of very beautiful poets. I like using the word beautiful today. You know, I love to write, discuss, and hang out all about poetry, words, linguistics, and all that fun stuff. Tonight, we're going to be talking about having one of those great days we all love to have. You know, when you start the morning off walking into chewed gum that your kid left on the floor, or nobody has clean underwear because the dryer doesn't work, and all those fun kind of days. Right now, I'm going to say hello to some of my great guests. So, hello, Raconteur, how are you?
I'll make way for your great guests. I'm doing all right.
You are one of my great guests. And I believe I also have A.P. Taylor on the line. Hello, A.P.
You do, sweet. How are you?
I'm doing okay this morning. Or actually this evening. See how good I'm doing? It's morning.
It's morning in Denver at 9 o'clock p.m.
Late
past morning. A little late past
But,
morning.
You know,
okay.
That's the kind of day.
Yeah.
It's that kind of day. Yeah, it's kind of one of those days. I've had one of those days. I'm like one of those days kind of day. Oh,
indeed.
Well, here we are. Yes, but I'm living a dream. I can't complain. I still am having massive issues with my beautiful, beautiful poetry issues or in my computer issues, but it's getting there. So this is my second hump day show. I already have almost twice as many visitors, so I'm very excited. AP, you got to run and go. Do I got to, like, slam you on the board and you got to, like, go take care of the world's business? What's going on?
No.
Oh, good.
I don't have a poem yet, so I'm writing it as we go.
Okay. That's awesome. I'm actually finishing up my little diggy myself because, you know, I'm still ahead in the world right now. Okay, Brack, what is a standard another one of those days for you?
Oh, my God.
Be interesting. Tell me.
just one of those days, huh? Like when you wake up and the coffee maker doesn't work and then, you know, you go to buy the coffee and you find you left your wallet in the house or something. Just one of those days, you know. I don't know. You get into the office and everyone's already looking for you. You try and sit down and someone stole your computer chair. That's my favorite when you have. It's like nothing's nailed down.
Nothing is ever nailed down. That's why I don't like things like offices, but haven't been in one in years except for my own. But then I have days. Most of my one of those days involves a dog. Go figure. AP, what is one of your days like? Other than hurting yourself, getting yourself with stitches, blood, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm actually writing about that. I think that typically the travel days are really the days that make it hard, sweet. You know, when you get on a plane you've got to be at the airport at, like, 5:30 to get on a 9 o'clock plane to get to the United States. And when you, you know, get to the United States about 2 o'clock in the afternoon and you've got a two-hour queue to get terminal and then get on a three-and-a-half-hour flight to go to Florida, and you finally get to Florida at about 9:30, and then you get in the taxi and you get to the hotel about 10:30, and so you've sort of started off in Australia at, you know, 4:35 in the morning to get to the airport. Same day, and then you finish up in Florida same day at about 10:30 once you checked in. And
technically the day before?
No, same day. Yeah, because it's basically.
Okay.
What happens on the way back is you lose a day. What happens on the way there is you just get this stupendously long, never-ending day.
More than 24 hours in a day, then.
Yeah, it is. It is. Like, it's a 36-hour day, and it's the day that never ends. And the problem with the day that never ends is that
you travel with the
tend to go wrong. Yeah, unfortunately.
Oh, no.
There's all kinds of things to go wrong if your day is 36 hours long. You know, it's
no kidding.
But,
well, I'm really excited because they just...
I was going to say, for those of us that wish there were more hours in the day, that's how you do it. You go to Australia and you fly
to the
States.
There you go.
That's it. Exactly right. You want to do
but
that.
But else you can accomplish much in the air.
And you just have to deal with the TSA in between.
That's exactly right, Brad. You have to
deal with the
queue.
You've been selected for something.
God, it's funny. I'm very excited because Denver Airport just announced that they're doing a lot more international flights, so I can fly to Munich from here. I don't have to go, like, to one of the coasts to do it. So I'm like, yes, I can fly to London, and that's really exciting. So I'm very, very happy. I might be headed out to Europe here shortly. But, you know, not granted in this time of, you know, 8 point something inflation going on here in the United States, but
Well, yeah.
We'll see what happens.
But who knows, roll a wheel and work out how much you're paying, sweet. You know, it goes up every minute.
I know. Well, you know, I know there are people, somebody prospective is, they're paying $4 or something for gas now, almost $5 in some places. But I pay like $19 for like 8 ounces of my shampoo. So who am I to complain about gas?
Well, you could go down to New Zealand, sweet, and with tax you're paying $8 a gallon.
Yeah, see, that's just it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I can complain about. Or I can have great looking hair.
Yeah.
So I have my choices to make.
I have great looking hair. But worse than that, actually, it's actually white now. They can't even call it gray. It's white.
Mine is fabulous, beautiful red. It's even more red and gorgeous today. Just had it done today, so today was a good day. Had a pedicure and hair done and all that kind of stuff. So
that sounds cool.
Yeah, it was. Love those days. Love the pamper days. Yeah, good day. All right, so I think now that I'm almost 15 minutes into the show, maybe I should play some beautiful, you know, poetry. That would be good.
Well, it's a conversation.
I know. But we're going to throw old Mr. Stephen up because his looks very, very interesting. I'm just letting you know that he always does do things very interesting, and this one kind of interested me a lot. Interested me? Oh, good Lord. Somebody help me. All right. Now, I'm doing something I've never done, so I'm working on two screens at a computer, and then he's got me like four screens on two screens. So I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going to get lost. So there we go. We're going to listen to Mr. Stephen.
Shite in a Bucket by Stephen 76. Out of bed this morning and stubbed my toe. Hernia-sized sneeze from the dusty throw. Broken yolks and burnt bacon strips. Slipped on coffee spill, almost broke my hip. Tutter outside the car and it had a flat. Stepped in poop from the neighbor's cat. Late for work from the traffic jam. Someone ate my lunch of sandwich, cheese, and ham. Ticket for speed on way back home. Mirrored hairline fell back, more revealing dome. Laid down in bed right into dog's warm vomit. Dark days like this make me yell, shite in a bucket! And poem.
Okay. First off, Stephen, there's my reaction. You totally make me giggle, but oh, my God. The whole warm dog's vomit. Oh, I've been there. Oh, my God, I've been there. Oh, you have no idea. When you go to sit down somewhere and all of a sudden your hand finds, I'm like, oh, come on. Thank God. And here's a shameless plug. Thank God for my Bissell Pet Pro. Yeah, spot cleaner because I love that thing. But this is fabulous. This totally made me giggle. It made me laugh. I really appreciate it. This is hilarious because there are days like this. Just the second you step out of bed and you're stubbing your toe, you're like, oh, God, I need to go back to bed because it's just going to happen this way. Shite in a bucket. Here we go. All right. Let's start with you, Mr. Brackentor. You know, I almost called you Remington, my dog's name. Back, my darling.
I haven't thrown up on your bed, so I'm okay. You know, I'm almost imagining a hole in that bucket full of shite and you know, that little spout of funky stuff flying out of it. I mean, you know, that's kind of the only thing missing. It's just, you know, the universe just says, why not, you know? I want to say the dog's broken because normally after they throw up, they tend to eat it, or at least that's what I thought. So, you know, I love the idea, you know, just one thing after another. It's one of those things that just you know, it's not that anyone would wish it on anyone, but, you know, it just seems to follow. It's like when it rains, it pours, as the expression goes. And yeah, it's totally, totally relatable.
Yeah.
I liked it very much, Stephen. I'll buy you a new bucket.
I'll buy you a new bucket. And AP, your thoughts?
Well, I have put a head of hair on the board too, to show that it's not very grey, it's mostly just white. But in this particular case, we're talking technicolor, really, aren't we? Really? It's all colours of the rainbow and sun besides. And there is nothing worse than finding yourself in the midst position with a dogma. I mean, humans are worse enough, dogs are even more troubling. So it's just awful. Yuck. Yeah. Total comment. Written well. Yuck.
You do have a stunning head of hair. Very nice.
Oh, thank you. Still got some.
Very, very nice. Oh. Michael Jordan has nice hair, too. He really does. God. I can't even... Days with dogs, you guys have no idea. I have found so many things in my backyard that is just inappropriate to talk about. I mean, things that vibrate should not be in the backyard. Things that, I mean, literally everything you can think of, this dog pissing outside. And
massage pillow.
Massage pillows, things like that. He has taken pillows out. He has taken blankets, pillows. He's tried to bring a tree in. This puppy of mine is like insane. Yesterday, I thought he was going to break his hip. He was just sitting in the middle of the floor, and all of a sudden, he jumps up like a whale, breaks on the surface to catch a fly. And I he was very high in the air, and he was very young, so it's like, don't bring a hip. So, you know, those are the kinds of days I get to have. Very, very fun. All right, so let me see who's on the board here. Unlike you, AP, who had snakes that randomly just fell apart on you, I would rather not do that. I just can't imagine going to the mailbox and have to worry about snakes.
Wasn't there anything about snakes in my...
He used to worry about spiders, but the snakes ate them.
Cool enough.
I would literally have to have a mongoose as a pet, like maybe three or four, just sitting around my bed. I'd be like, I'm a mongoose keeper. That would be my job. They'd be like all of my little pets. What are the things that eat? I know that it's strange, but that would be my thing. I'd be the mongoose queen of...
That's a practical solution.
It is. You know, there is a... I'm trying to remember there's an island, I think, in the Caribbean that was overrun with some critter, and they ended up getting rid of all the snakes because of this critter being overrun in the island, and I can't remember which island it was, but I was like, no, that's an island I can live on. there's a couple weird stories about the Caribbean. Like, there's one about the monkeys, where the monkeys were put in to starve out the people, which is a very odd story. Maybe I should do a odd stories of things where we go and live. That ought to be fun.
It's like that song from kindergarten about the woman who ate the fly.
Oh, swallowed the cat who ate the dog. Yeah, that would be me. I'd be afraid of all those wonderful things. All right, let's go to Frank. Frank, let's see what he's got in store for us tonight. Are we laughing? Are we crying? Are we crapping our pants? We never know. I know. All right, Frank. We're going to listen to you.
Oh. I see the tidal waves of your pain in the depth of the sea, just wanting for me to release it. Afterwards, then set you free. The wind resonates the echoes of the cries of your voice so dire. When your skin is covered in the heavy tent of a pale fire, through the sunry storm I awake to find you beyond the shore, wondering if I can fly above the drifting mist of clouds and soar, to hear suddenly your broken wings, my pretty wild dove, make you believe again in the fate of the power of love. When it seems that the unrelenting storm will never cease, I keep hoping that one day soon I can give you some peace, for I see the beauty of your smile in the reflection of the morning shine, casting your reticent image off the beach of the brine. I stare into a calm color of the gentle purity painted far away from the tears that will no longer be tainted by the umbra of your worries and fears that haunt you no more, piercing inside your heart and soul at their core. With the moisture of the dew, I know where to find you, amidst the mermaids of blue, beyond the door, silver, grey hue. And you give yourself away, and you give yourself away, and you give, and you give, and you give yourself away to me. With or without you, I know where to find you. And you give yourself away, and you give yourself away, and you give, and you give, and you give yourself away to me. With or without you, I know where to find you. I know where to find you.
Wow. I'm going to move now because I don't really want him to find me. But this is great. It's full of suspense, mystery, imagery, great storyline. I love the umbra of your worries and fears that haunt you no more, piercing inside your heart and soul at their core. If he's finding you, I don't know if that's true. He's just got some really great lines in here. Obviously, you give yourself away to me. I don't know if that's voluntary the way he sounded, but maybe it's voluntary. You never know. But, yeah, very vampiric, very gothic. I really did enjoy this. I believe I just picked up Adam. Adam, is that you?
Yeah, that's me.
Hi, how are you tonight?
I'm good.
Good. All right, I'm going to start. Huh? So that was gorgeous, and no laugh at the end, so I was happy about that. Rack, tell me what you thought of this.
Oh, yeah, you know, it's like, I don't know, I want to call it, I mean, the idea of giving your love away and you know, being stalked is kind of go hand in hand before vampires ever existed. So tying a thought like that in, you know, that darkness works really well. And you know, add the creepy voice and the lovely music, and you've got a Frank. That was pretty cool. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. and AP thinking for me.
Well, yeah, Frank's got a way, hasn't he? He's got a way, and he has a way of sort of giving you that sense of something being really quite bad and ominous in a way. And he's using the words of the song here, and it's brilliant. And you give yourself away, and it sounds like, you know, you're about to wander off, you know, and end up in some horrible chamber, you know, or die. It's just so dark, but it's brilliantly done, and I enjoyed it. So, thanks, Frank.
Yeah, and Adam, I don't know if you got to hear any of it, but if you do, throw your thoughts my way.
Okay, so the hearing part, I think, is the key, right? Because if you just read it, which I did, you know, I was catching up, reading it to catch him when I called in, hearing him read it. It's very, yeah, like I see where people's vibe is juxtaposed, but that's interesting that there's a dissonance between the way he read it, between the way it reads without that, without his influence, other than the words.
Yeah.
So it's strikingly different. Like, this actually could be considered amazing. As far as I can tell, it's amazingly romantic. But if you read it differently, like, the way he was, because I heard it was, like, menacing almost, like, it's like, holy, you know, that tells us, like, that wakes it up off the page in a wholly, completely different fucking way of contrast. Oh, sorry, I don't know if I could cuss on this line, but...
Yeah, you don't understand, but...
Yeah, there's nothing
about
it, if you just read it, straight read it, that is... sad. There's one thing that kind of throws me where he's talking about how he sees all this sadness and darkness, but I don't even want all this to be better for this person. But then it's like he sees a calmness and then it's like, so then it makes me think, so now I'm tripping and I'm going on what you guys are saying. I'm like, huh, because the way he did read it was very ominous, you know. And then I'm thinking of the U2 song. It's so beautiful, you know. I'm thinking about how beautiful that song is about. And then, so I'm like really swimming in my head about it now, you know. It's good though. It's an amazing write, like just on its own without like, you know, like everything.
Yeah.
Great images and the imagery and it was great. I loved some of this, most of it. Like it totally. It tripped me out. It tripped me out. It totally tripped me out. Like, because if you just read it flat, anyways. End comment.
I agree. Absolutely. All right, AP, you are on the board.
I am, because I've just finished it. Sweet. And it doesn't
rhyme.
Right. So, come on.
What?
Sorry.
Not
rhyme.
Possible.
It's like, I know. This is showering by me, even though it doesn't rhyme. And it's going a little bit like this.
Oh.
It's too early. And I'm half asleep. I'm getting too old to be having a shower at 5 a.m. The birds are not even awake yet. So I'm getting myself all washed to fly, and then I take a few steps towards the shower door exit. And I realize it is highly polished pink stone, and my feet cannot grip. It's at this point I should have sat on my backside, but instead, before even thinking, I was falling. And then I was sitting on my arse, and you do the checks. Because there is blood. And it's coming from somewhere, not from my head and not from my wrist, though they are really bruised. Then I look at the palm of my hand, and there is a gouge, like some very dark, red, cavernous valley, bleeding lots. So, a towel and hand sanitizer, and after I finish jumping, add powder and call the hotel. They had a doctor, and he put strips on it, seal it together, took 5 hours in emergency, and they didn't see me, just with 120 desperate individuals seeking a nurse or anyone in a white jacket. And I wasn't seen before I left, and the Panadol didn't take a faded jab at the pain, and my flight to New Zealand had gone hours earlier. End poem.
Oh, hello, let me say hello to Hatter. Hi, Hatter. Hi, Hatter. I don't know.
Hey.
What's up, man?
Oh, nothing. Trying to wake up.
Good.
Take a power.
Wake up, man.
I can't.
Come on and join us.
In trouble.
Well, I'm telling you what. Man, this is a bad day. This is a bad day, AT. First off, they did not give you enough. Okay, and oh, my God. You still spent 5 hours in the emergency room and nobody saw you. Okay, I have a question. How long did it actually take you to get this hand stitched up?
Well, what actually happened was that we have private emergency rooms here in Melbourne, and so I went and paid my $400, and then I waited 4 hours for the emergency physician to stitch it up. And so the second time I went to an emergency room, actually paid the money, it did get stitched, but I had to wait 4 hours the second time.
So you paid a doctor $100 an hour to come see you?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, that's exactly what I did. And they stitched it up, and they gave me a script for the pain, which was great, except by the time I got home, all the pharmacies had closed. So whack on the Panadol again. Thanks for coming.
No. This is a bad day.
Oh,
you missed your flight to New Zealand. Yeah. Oh, that's just a bad day. That's a bad day. Oh, it just sounds so painful. So my whole point is what killed me, though, and this is what's the most painful. You took a towel and hand sanitizer, and you put it, you put that in your hand yourself. Oh, my God, God bless you. Because, that just makes me cringe thinking about it. Just thinking about it.
Just open up
your hand and put all that. Well, I know that, and you had to do what you had to do, but it still sounds very painful.
It was unpleasant, sweet.
Unpleasant, yes. No, eating liver is unpleasant. That is horrifying. Brad, your kind of day. What did you think?
Oh, my goodness. When someone says, you know, you were left in stitches, this is not the vision that I get. This was really kind of horrific. And you know, the icing on the cake, the script for the pharmacy that's already closed, that's just like, you know, it kind of goes to follow. I mean, just, again, I have visions of the universe just laughing at me, or you in this case, but yeah. It's just one of those things that you almost, like, you know, once it starts, you like, you know, the other expression that comes to mind, you know, shit rolls downhill. You're at the bottom.
Yeah, exactly.
You're at the bottom, and your mouth is kind of open. So it's just like, here it comes. But you managed to weather it, so there's that.
I'm still laughing about it, thank God. But yes.
Did they actually stitch it, or did they do the staples of the hot glue?
No, they stitched it. They put two deep stitches in to keep it together, and then six at the surface, so it put eight in it in total.
Oh. That makes it sound a lot less. than it probably was, because, you know, they could do a lot with surgical.
It actually gets worse than that, right? Because I had to actually convince the emergency physician to stitch it, because he wanted me to go and see a plastic surgeon. And I said, no, you can do it. So he went away, had a coffee, and came back and did it for me.
Wow.
You can do it. I've got faith in you. Come on, champ.
That's it. That's exactly right. Exactly right. It's that sort of conversation. Exactly.
Oh, my God. Adam, what do you think about AP's really bad day?
I only caught part.
Oh.
Adam. Hold on, Adam.
No, I mean, go ahead.
Okay, Hatter, what do you think? Hatter.
Princess Stitch's.
I didn't hear all of it.
Oh.
At the end of it.
Okay.
It's not a bad day.
All right. Not a bad day. Well, you two compete for bad days, so you know. And,
not a bad day.
Adam,
just
what did you think?
I was gonna say it was a great storytelling of this bad day just exponentially, like, seems to get it's like salt in the wound, literally salt sanitizer in the wound, because like it's just getting worse, like little things that are just like, oh, now this too, and now this, and now that. It wasn't just the stubbing your toe, you know, and it was like so much, like, not necessarily just that, it was like this, it was that, and then this, and then this, and then this, you know. I'm like, man, crazy, like this, like of all things, you know. Like you said, he misses the flight, but it makes you think of some things too. I was like starting to think about what, you know, like what, for I was thinking how tough he is, for one, like, dang, if it was so, like that's, I've had some wounds, but not, you know, I'm thinking, wow, if he actually needed plastic surgery, or maybe they were trying to milk him too, you know, they might have been trying to milk him. So I was thinking, like, what's the healthcare system like in Australia, you know? And I was wondering, like, just different things about life there. You know, it had me thinking of some stuff outside of the actual just bad day of what was happening to him, especially towards the end when we see some details that are a little different than the way things are in America, you know, the way things are here. And, the, you know, I, not necessarily that our healthcare system is either better or worse, but it makes me wonder if, like, because we hear that sometimes they have these longer waiting times when when everybody has insurance, with it, it's not privatized, that, you know, there's these immense waiting times, and there's a pretty, like, who knows, he probably wasn't even the worst case there, an emergency, you know what I mean? Maybe he could have been like a gunshot victim, just on the, he's not quite on his way out, is, you know, like, I've seen this sort of thing. All right, yeah, but it just had me thinking, you know, just all kinds of different ways. Well done storytelling, though, for sure. And it was a real event. You're a tough, Australians are tough. That's what I feel that's like the image that is portrayed of Australians to the world, that you're super tough people, man. And like, to think you just sanitizer and stuff a towel with some powder, and that'll do. That's like Americans and their duct tape, man. You know, like, that's, we're similar. You know, crazy glue and duct tape, you'll be all right. Walk it off. But that's a man, too. And that makes you think, like, anyways, Fosters. Anyway,
I like that.
It was good.
Had duct tape, if you would have used it.
A different style than I'm used to seeing. I used to seeing you doing, like, more. I haven't seen you a lot, but it's cool to see you doing, like, the kind of just storytelling variety. It's cool.
Yeah. Thank you. Am I allowed to put a hand up on the board?
You are.
There you go.
Oh, for real, man? Damn. Okay. And that's after the stitches.
That hurt.
Did you imagine, like, if that was open, flayed open? Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
Yeah, no. I'm spraying his foot. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
I would think the bruising damage would be a little, I bet, is this fresh? Because the bruising damage afterwards sounded horrific.
The bruising's gone down. The bruising's gone down there. That's after about 3 days. Yeah. So there's a lot more bruise.
Because you think
like he's ordering in a restaurant. Is this fresh? Is this hand fresh? I'm sending this back to the kitchen.
No, you don't understand. That's not what I meant.
I
wondered how soon after the accident, because there should have been a lot more trauma damage. Like the coloring discoloration.
Oh, no, it looked awful. No,
yeah, he's picking on me. I don't know why. He banded me earlier today, and now he's picking on me.
He picks on people. He's racking for. He can't see, so he's jealous. He can't see the picture. He can't feel his way on the screen. I don't. He doesn't come in braille.
There you go.
good.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, that's excellent. Excellent, excellent. All right, so Hatter, what happens when you have one of your really bad days?
Oh, well, it's nothing like APs. I'm trying to go too fast with my physical therapy, and I'm hurting myself.
Yeah, I can see that, Mr. Football Stud. Star quarterback.
Somehow it was easier then. A lot easier then.
A lot easier.
Oh, what, 30 years ago or so?
Yeah, I wish only 30.
Yeah, me too, but that's beside the point. Well, I can't go back too much further. Make you a child. Like a little child. A little child. I want you to be a little child. Okay. Let me see. Back in Georgia, you didn't bring me anything, did you?
No, I don't have anything. I'm sorry.
Okay,
I'm sure
sorry.
I have something about it,
okay.
But I didn't think of anything specifically.
Oh. Okay, Adam, what is it like for you to have one of your days, like one of those days that just screw you up?
Yeah.
So I went kind of differently with this. Let me go find the link on it. Okay, it's called Blue Pills.
Hold on.
I just went to the chat.
Okay, hold on.
Or the board.
Hold on, I gotta get it. I think I'm
who's laughing at Blue Pills. Just the title, at least I heard laughter.
Yeah, exactly. That's the way it is. There's nothing wrong with a few blue pills.
Get your guys' heads out the gutter.
Hey, my go, Adam, go. Tell us about
this. Please, let me save this. Now everyone's going to be thinking little blue pills. As I read the whole thing, no one's even going to listen. It's over. Jesus.
I'm
okay. So, boy.
You brought the pills.
All right. Here we go. Boy.
Take your medicine.
All right.
I'm just going to read.
Take three. Boy, I'm just so tired that I can't sleep. With this insomnia, it's fueling creativity, or so I believe. It's like so thick in two ways, lavished in honey, dipped, dropped straight from the honeycomb of muses that inspire in my ardent, happy-go-lucky admiration. But I'm so dense that I'm not realizing muses can be abusive. And I'm speaking of the myth, and only if you believe in fairy tale, because I'm used. I'm the used and used optimist. My nihilism is bubbling divisively. I'm hearing sirens being separated, spread thin from insuredness of shorelines. Let me tell you, my muses are running me, but I'm a happy idiot smiling politely. She's a succubus shapeshifter dangling the carrot of fantasy to bewitch me, or a tempting fruit, succulent and low-hanging, easy to grab a hold of and be carried away. To a place Morpheus is chained, captive in Pandora's box, which is hidden under the hands of Nyx, while Aphrodite is dancing and appealingly deceiving me. But decibels are way up in my senses. But how'd I get lost out here where Zeus is even afraid to go? Lightning flashes won't wake me, or the roar of thunder from my hypnosis. Will anyone care when they find me missing? I think I'm already gone. Dusks are dawn and dawns are dusk. Really, it's all just one flat drone of one song on repeat, but I'm still happy I'm writing. I'm hexed. I must be under a spell or juju or voodoo that they do so well. I forget, though, I was born under a bad sign. Maybe I'm a zombie. My mind cannibalizing itself and gnawing hunger. Is that metaphor for an Ouroboros? Circling an infinity, locked in forever's cage. My brain is gone. I become a straw man. Call me Scarecrow. Dorothy, forgive me. I woke up in Never Neverland, chasing holes in Wonderland charade. Alice said there's a way out. And as she leaned in to whisper, I woke up and never was. Oh, yeah, we're all mad here. Just been one of them dreams, let me tell you. And peace. Now you can laugh.
Awesome. That is beautiful. I love your message, Sarge. I love how you took us on this really great journey at one point. Last week's been 4 days, because I have so been there. This is just fabulous. I love your verbiage. I love your language. She's a succubus, shapeshifter, dangling the carrot of fantasy to be with me, or attempting fruit, succulent and low-hanging, easy to grab hold of and get carried away. I will tell you, one of the things I love about your writing is you use these fantastic lexicon. You just have this really great lexicon. And then on top of that, you have this good old boy lexicon in there, because you're like, let me tell you, my muses are running me, but I'm a happy idiot. I love the interaction play of that, you know, because, like, you've got sirens and assuredness and shorelines and gods in here and Alice in here and Dorothy in here, and it literally is a mind that has not slept. It's everything. And but you're happy because you're writing, and creative people get happy because that's when we can dig and dig and dig. And Lord knows I've written some really great poetry after not sleeping for a couple of days. I think this is brilliant, Adam, and thank you. Thank you for bringing it. It's absolutely stunning. All right. Hatter, your thoughts?
Yeah, I like my muse is abusive. Was that the line? My muse is abusing me, or abusive? Muses can be abusive. It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been in a writer's block myself lately. It's like it picks me up in the morning, slaps me around a little bit, walks in the other room. Can't see if we can find
it. Totally got that. Yeah, that's cool. Because I went from, like, the way we use muse to refer to maybe a person or a thing or whatever, and then I went from that, which I was appealing, which I love, to the other side of, like, the mythology of a muse, and now they're just ravishing me, mm-hmm. not letting me have peace. and Morpheus, the god of dreams, being trapped in Pandora's box, and then, you know, Nyx mm-hmm. being the primordial god of night, darkness, that Zeus is, that's the only fucking thing Zeus is afraid of. He's actually afraid of Nyx. And I get, yeah, you guys, you got it, man. You guys are getting it. It's cool. I love that.
So what sign are you? What is your bad sign?
Oh, zodiac sign?
Yeah.
I was referring to the Creedence Clearwater sign, but I'm a zodiac sign Gemini. So duality.
Yeah.
I can live in all spaces of, like, you know, understanding all sides.
Yeah.
It's weird. Anyway.
Yeah. I like the way you took. I like the way you took it. That was good. Very well. Very, very well written.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And AP, your thoughts?
Now, Adam, could you explain to Swift what an Ouroboros is, please?
What's the myth of that snake eating its tail? Like the universe that's supposed
that's
to be.
Yep. Yep. Exactly
I actually know what an Ouroboros is, and I don't talk about it.
It's a wonderful word to use. It has great assonance.
It does. It's a wonderful word, but I just wanted to note, Sweet, that I didn't bring a snake in. Adam did. But
no, I never did.
Just noting it, that's all.
Adam did.
But
Adam brought the snake.
I was actually going to go with the low-hanging fruit. I was going to make references to Adam and Eve, but I didn't want to bring religion.
No.
So I was like, don't go there.
Right.
It was brilliant, and I love the
I help
Buck
a lot,
man.
Actually.
Yeah, I love the straw man. I like how it goes to Scarecrow. I love how that runs to Dorothy. And I love that Ron was into Wonderland and that you woke up in Never Was. And that it's just a beautiful sort of stream of thoughts that just come through there. And it's just lovely.
Thanks, AP.
Yeah, it is brilliant.
Appreciate it, man.
And I will say to AP, Adam did not put a picture of a snake and a Christmas tree on the board either.
No, he
didn't use the word in a poem.
I've got plenty of
Wait, what happened?
That I put up, but I'm not going to put any of them up. Wait.
I missed something.
AP AP likes to show me snakes. I'm Dustin. I'm Dustin.
In Australia. Okay. These are inside things. I don't know. Okay, now I'm getting it better. Now I'm understanding better.
Yes.
In Australia, they don't have garland and Christmas trees, apparently.
And so at a friend's house or someone's home, they had a Christmas tree up, and in the middle of the tree was an actual very large snake. So he took a picture of it and sent it.
Oh, man. And you're definitely afraid of him?
I'm definitely afraid of him.
That takes the whole little blue pill a whole other way now, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does.
I'm just flipping the mode.
Now you're being naughty.
He doesn't even like
to have a couple girls. Don't be naughty. This is my PG-13 show now.
Oh, yeah. My bad. I'm trying to flip things. I don't know where I am sometimes. And I'm still burnt.
Yes. Well, I am going to, now throw up my little ditty if I can find it. So we'll listen to me ramble on for a minute.
If you want a bad day, sweet, you could Icarus Coconut if you want from me.
Okay, then I'd have to load it. And I don't know if I can do that on this computer because I'm not on my computer. I could read it, though. I can have one of the guys read it.
Yeah, you could read it. There's no snakes.
All right. Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that.
Adam, I've sent you a private message so that Sweet doesn't get to see it again.
Okay.
There you go.
Hey, I didn't get to hear what Rack thought of it.
I guess because I'm not done. So, Rack and Tor, you're brilliant, please.
Well, you're going to be waiting an awful long while. So for now, I'll just spout on. I enjoyed what you did with that, Adam, very much. I like the transitions between thoughts, the way that you managed to work in Zeus and Nyx and then Dorothy and Never Was. That the whole thing was very clever and well threaded. It was on theme as far as going. You're talking about your muse, but you're bringing in all the confusion and hype of when you're writing, chasing down those thoughts, and you captured all that commotion in the poem itself. So that movement was there. That idea of wrestling with those thoughts were all contained within that piece of chasing that muse.
Thank you, Ray. Appreciate you, man.
You are clever. All right, so I put my little ditty on the board. And it's just called Another Day. Brick roads and amber colors never led me to a place called home. An autumn leaf swirls from broken branches and tornado clashes in a whirlwind of anger silences the mountains and meadows below. Crash car dummies wreak havoc on green pastures and halos. The rusted crust of the love scorn leaves no shine on the chrome. Fairy tale commodities, a bull market, Wall Street rolls in dough. Swing set seat creaks and memories altered in time and space. Children play dirty and laundry stays and hampers growing moldy. Spoons don't run away with dish. It stays and judges the moon. Morning mirrors reflect nights lost in self-doubt slumber. Rise and shine meets coffee beans and a fake smile crowns over the dawn of another one of those days. And so.
That's really cool, Sweet. I love the fairy tale aspect of it. You even got the dish running away with the spoon mixed in there. It's an old nursery rhyme. Not so much a fairy tale, but fairy tales and nursery rhymes are, I guess, closely related. They're all fodder for children, right? This is just beautiful. And the children and the hamper, I love that line as much as you want to make fun of it. I thought that was a really cool line, too. I mean, But you tend to pretty up some really stark subjects that you know, if you really thought about it, you kind of want to, you know, cry, but you present them in a way that's like, you know, what's the word? You play with them in a way that just makes them palatable and seem less threatening. There's a word for what I'm thinking of, and it's eluding me at the moment. But I love the way that you do that, and you do it awesome. You know, you underscore, you kind of hide it almost, in a way that's just, you know, beautiful. But and it shouldn't be. Right? It shouldn't be. Hatter, what'd you think of Sweet's piece?
Sweet, have you used that crash card dummies term before?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought it was something seemed familiar. No, I agree with it. I agree with Raz. The way you it doesn't over. How do you say it? Over-explain things. You pat it. You make it easier. That doesn't sound right either. I'm on meds. Excuse my mind. No,
I
well
love
done.
Your mind.
And AP, can you comment for Sweet?
Yeah, there's a sort of, it's a really interesting poem because it sort of talks about sort of, I sort of had a sense of a city, and then I got the hampers going moldy, and God knows we're all in there, and the moon, the morning mirrors reflect night's lost in self-doubt slumber, and I really like that too. There's this sort of sense of a sort of night going on and stuff happening and there being things that just be, but it's not just another day, and so it's really nicely put together because it just gives you that sense that things are not quite right through a set of things that normally are.
Yeah, indeed. And Adam,
I'm in the middle of writing my comment. This so it's from the top. It's just I realize, well, there's certain things I know Sweet kind of has an affinity for that comes out in her writing, which she touches on, and it's so understated. Everything in this is beautifully understated, with the aspect of just we grow up believing in the fairy tales or the nursery rhymes. If we go that far back, we don't even understand sometimes when we're, you know, young what those really are telling us, right? And then we get a little older and a little older, and then we believe in fanciful dreams of things, and then when the cold reality of the world is not the way it is, and we realize that through transition of not only time but our days, because we'll always remember that throughout a day, or, you know, a daydream, or literally a dream, like what I was dreaming of my life would be. And then we face, you know, cold, you know, coffee and a fake smile, and just shrugging, grinning, bearing it and getting through it with hopefully we find, I mean, there was no touches of levity in this. As Racket said, like, this is just heartbreaking. It took a lot to kind of not allow myself to, you know, it feels like to the point of tears. You know, like, you stop yourself. I mean, men are used to doing that. I don't know how often women are used to stopping their tears. But it's very hard to not let yourself cry when there's this much pain. That is, like, understated in it. And that reminds me of the way a woman, like, tries to bear it all and goes, like, to the bathroom to cry in private and stuff of that nature. Like, I don't know. It stirred up so much in me. Like, there's a lot you could actually unpack here that you could, you know, there's a lot that actually could be, if you just kept reading it and reading it, you would just keep realizing more and more going on. I love that you used chrome instead of, like, to explain the shine, and that it's a commodity because it is sold. Anyways, I already spoke on that idea. You did it better anyway. Yeah, amazing. Killed it.
Thank you very much. I appreciate everybody's comments.
I've been desperate for new work from you, so thank you for such a amazing piece out the box.
Oh, thank you.
I've been waiting.
Yeah, it makes me sound like I've been waiting.
Well, I think the last one, anyway, it's been a minute for me, at least from my side of things.
Oh, well, I was going to say I've written a couple this last few weeks. So I haven't read a lot, though, but I've written a few. But, hey, we may have another round. It's only 10 o'clock, so if anybody's got anything else, they can always throw my way because I've only got a couple more to do. Let me look in my box. Let me look in my private little box.
Let me go over.
I have depth. Actually, so if you guys got something else to throw at me, throw it at me. Hatter, you got anything to throw at me tonight?
You know, I was looking through my vault. I didn't see anything pertaining to the prompt.
You can have anything, babe.
Anything?
Just throw some at me.
Okay.
Anything. And Raconteur, I gotta go to your world. Anything. I've got another like hour or so to fill, so I'm open to anything.
Icarus coconut.
I know, I gotta go to your world. I gotta find you. Let's see.
I don't think you've heard that one either.
Yeah.
So
come on. Hey, AP, you want to go find that for me? My computer's giving me crap.
Oh, really? Okay, we can try and find something. I
no,
was
for
Rax. Looking for one. Oh, we can go to
Rax. Can you find Rax for me?
Rax.
Thank you.
We can. Yep. Where is it? On the horse?
No.
That's
it. It is rural.
I'm sorry. I'm making it work. I'm sorry.
He's trying. He's making me work so that you can read it. It's in his poetry room. You got to go to his page and find it for it.
Okay, bear with me. We'll get there.
I'm doing it.
All right. And Rack, how far is it down the page? What's it called?
It's called Icarus Coconut. It's an older one, but
okay, I'll find that. Too easy. Bear with me. I have it now, and I will put it up on the board. Now, have you got the SoundCloud for it, Sweet?
No, I'm gonna have you read it.
Oh, well, there you
See,
go.
I
well,
need to do all the work.
Huh?
There you go.
No, there you go. I found it. It's on the board. This is Iraq. This is Icarus Coconut. And it goes a bit like this. I'm soared within reach of the sun, only to crash to earth like a coconut, plummeting from the loftiest perch on the tallest of trees, falling without warning, ultimately splitting open, causing everything inside to come spilling out like ichor, soaking into the dirt in a meager attempt to avoid the light, sinking as low as I thought anyone could possibly go, using whatever strength I had left to grab a shovel and start digging. And when I finally expended all my energy, exhausted and unable to dig anymore, I looked around me and saw I had fallen into a bottomless pit of despair. Feeling sorry for yourself can be the most destructive thought in your head, leading me to wonder. My head is just as hard and my chest similarly lifeless. How am I any different than a coconut?
the tattered remains of relationships strewn before me after careening from the clouds, like baggage on an airport carousel, endlessly circling my mind, intermittently disappearing into the bowels of the terminal, only to reappear on the whims of the carousel's nature, marching relentlessly, around and around, over and over again. But it's not only the baggage that's put my mind in a holding pattern. I really need to figure out how to put that damn coconut back together again. Ping pong.
Oh, my God. This is, like, sad as can be. I mean, falling without warning, ultimately splitting open, causing everything inside to come out, spilling like a soaking into the dirt in a meager attempt to avoid the light. I mean, this is like rock bottom, and then you're going through all this, and you're just thinking, I love the line, only to reappear on the whims of the carousel's nature. I love that line. Like, a little writer's envy on that line, by the way, darling. Marching and relentlessly. How to put that coconut back together. Huh. You know, things that happen to us in our lives, we're just always like, how did that happen, and why did it happen to me, and why is it me, and all that, and they always say that, you know, be a man without shoes, find a man without feet, find a man without legs. I'm pretty sure you're just looking at your damn head. Here we are, looking at wrecked heads, just trying to put it back together. I found this really stirring, emotional, and I know what you've been through, so don't worry about that damn coconut. It's pretty damn good right now, dude. Let's see. Adam, what did you think of it?
Yeah, that... So, there's such a real life going on here that's... And, like, almost fanciful with some of the imagery and metaphor, but it's, like, which almost... But the context is what is strikingly, like, powerful when you use, but then to use something like, you know, coconuts in the way, it's just like, man, it's disarming, I would say. It's kind of like you don't realize, like, how deep he's really cutting you until you're cut, you know, when you're seeing how much pain he really has been through. And then when he even... I think the thing that broke me, and I was like, I had to read it when I, you know, I had to read it to really start pulling it in, but was when he compared that maybe his heart was just as, like, heart, like, just as inanimate, basically. Like, when he dared to challenge his, like, when Rag, who has a great heart, was even like, maybe my, just thing in my chest even isn't, you know, not just my coconut in my head. You know, not just my mind is, but maybe my heart is just as worthless. I just couldn't stand that. Don't, I feel for him on many levels in this. And the connections of, like, carousel and the airport and all these, you know, all those references, like, they're just real, a matter of fact of, like, life, but also carry a... fancifulness and those word choices. This is just a rag, you know, you're a badass writer, man. Come on.
Thanks.
NAP, your thoughts?
Yeah, it's a really interesting piece because it does drag you in. You know, you sort of, you're rolling down the page, and then before you know it, you're right in the middle of this story that sort of just grabs you. It's pure rack, but I really enjoyed it. Rack, it's really well written.
Thanks, AP.
And Hatter, your thoughts?
Is it Hatter?
Yes.
I love the line you brought out to the. Soaking into the dirt in a meager attempt to avoid the light. That's a brilliant thought of what happens to the liquid that hits the dirt.
Thanks.
I don't really put together, Grok. Yeah, very, very well done.
Cool. And?
Okay.
All right.
Wait.
You ready with your second one there? Yes.
I have a poem. I have a poem.
Yes. Good.
And
give me your poem.
I'm going to put it straight up onto the board because it is a very,
okay.
very old poem. Yeah. So this is from 2015. Okay. So this is from 7 years ago. And what happened was you had to do something different with coconuts. Okay. You with me? You had to do something different with coconuts. So, this is Intergalactic Coconut Porter, and it goes a little bit like this. Intergalactic combat between two sworn foes, the gathering unfolded while three suns rose. Then a cry as green armies retreating decline, as the brown victors had led a defence sublime. While famous celebration for all of the bunch, properly spoken intruders gone before lunch, their planet was safe now, all of Oasis chime, as injuries left talk of fooling around behind. The commander rolled the podium proudly, declared the win to history as thanked loudly. Repairs began, the cleaning of all acid signs. The lovely bunch off to drink, this was party time. Malibu wild Jafars, they queued up the nuts, was a celebration husky with no ifs or buts. A toast to all fairy friends, absent in crime, for injured medical attention as past prime. As is often the case, as paws injured the oldest, for showing off against the foes of the green citrus, the great living of the coconuts, still a few in decline, all the coconuts left, we're pierced by a lump. End point.
Oh, the lime and the coconut,
In the coconut and she drank it all up.
Coconut. Yeah. I love that intergalactic combat between two sworn foes. Those, I really do this. Is this based off a song or is this just, like, I'm trying to figure out what this is because it sounds like Star Trek to me or it sounds, you know, like there's something going on and I'm like, not aware of what exactly is going on. It's a great story, but there's something else here and I'm not quite getting it. Because I don't know the song that well, and I don't know, like, I know there's something I'm missing. The cries for green armies, retreating the lines, brown victory. So I know it's brown victory has to be the monkeys, if I'm remembering the song correctly. So I'm going to go to Hatter, who's my song expert, and see if he can help me out.
What? Yeah.
Is this based on a song?
Based on a song?
I'm asking you.
Okay, let me look at it differently here. Okay.
Puts the lime in the coconut.
Yeah, and shake it all up. That's not the song. Well, you're not talking about that, are you? The lime and the coconuts to fringe all the coconuts left. I don't know.
All right. I just thought, I know I'm missing something. I just don't know what it is. I mean, at first I'm thinking it's five little monkeys jumping on the bed. Yes, Adam. Go ahead.
I think we're getting way hung up on too much, like, innocently enough, though. But, like, I'm feeling that the loose references are not necessarily needed to be focused on as much as this is life, the bitter and the sweet. You can't have one without the other throughout childhood to growing up into the world. It, you know, and that's my opinion on it, though. That's what I got from the feel of it. I don't think there's probably some references, you know, it's just
the acid signs, and this, but I think he's just talking about you need to make that drink. They need to be together. The lime and the coconut. It's like the bitter, you know, the sharpness of, you know. Anyways.
Yep.
I see that. I see what you're saying.
That's where I. Yep. I agree.
Well, see, Adam, you got it nailed, and he likes to trick me. See, and I'm like, all right, am I supposed to see a knife in here? Am I supposed to see a
pig? No.
Am I supposed to see a monkey? Your first line threw me. Your first line threw me big time, because I'm like, okay, are we doing Star Wars, Star Trek? What's going on? You shook me, JP. You shook me. But I like how Adam put it, because that makes more sense to me than five little monkeys on the bed needing medical attention.
Yeah.
Correct. Oh, that's just bad.
One needing four stitches.
No.
Something
no,
like that. No more stitches. All right. I get to my hatter.
Put the lime in the coconut and it's all up.
I know. Yeah, we're all going to be dead. That song's going to be in my head forever. And it's not like what I want it to be, but it is. Okay. Or the five little monkeys jumping on my bed. That's going to be a pain in my ass. Hatter, did you find something to read for me?
Yeah, I threw a dart and I posted it.
Right above. Did you put it up there? Okay.
Yeah,
all right,
we'll
have them booked on the board. All right, I got to drag it. I'll drag it down.
And if you could read it, I don't have my eyes.
All right, I can do that for you. Oh, I love this. So I might love again. I took back all the reasons I thought I heard you say. Your answers help tomorrow's time. The questions I have today. Will you tell the brokenhearted, tell them I was here? I cannot see tomorrow's heart each time I feel you near. I will always say I love you, the words you left behind. The glass that shattered at your feet held a cherry wine. Please tell me that it gets better, and I'll never have to pretend. So the words that I need to hear, so I might love again. Mr. J. Hatter. Oh, you break my heart every time I read this. And as I always say, I wish I could turn back the clock that keeps no time, so near no tears ever fell from your eyes, haunting, beautiful, and wonderful. For you are my Hatter. And
yes.
From my other Hurt Locker man, what did you think?
Yeah, Hatter, man, that's beautiful. The glass that held the cherry wine, I like that line for some reason. I don't know, there's a bit of nostalgia. I don't think that's a thing anymore, cherry wine, but, you know, there's those of us that will carry on that torch and drag it into the now. You know, the memories of cherry wine, something about it, yeah. I don't know. But the idea of, you know, say those words to make me fall in love again, that's, you know, so indicative of a rift in a relationship and a falling out between two people, and just, you know, the distance that tends to grow with people that just, you know, go their separate ways, but not intentionally. And then you just kind of want to nudge them in the right direction and say, you know, I just need to hear those words again. You know, the feeling's still there. It's really a sad thought, because, you know, there's nothing really, at least in the poem, that indicates, like, you know, any major, you know, betrayal or blow up or anything. It's just kind of just lost touch with each other. It's painful, and it's ugly in a lot of ways, but, you know, it seems to be so easily reparable too, and that's what makes it so hurtful, so painful to me. You know, because if it's that easy to fix, then why don't we just fix the damn thing? You know, it's beautiful.
And AP, your thoughts? Oh, sorry, Hatter, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, no, that's good. That's good.
All right. Hey, see your brain.
Yes. So I when Hatter talks about things, he talks about them in a way that they were there and that they're gone. And the way he does that is really clever, because he talks about his own emotions and then he talks about things like the words that you left behind. And please tell me that it gets better and I'll never have to pretend. They're very pure emotions, but they're so relatable to everybody, and that's what Rack is saying. And so when Hatter's on form, he just hits this sort of rich vein of words, and they come out in a way that almost always makes you think, and it makes you feel as if there's a loss. And I don't know the writer that does loss better than Hatter. End comment.
Absolutely. And Adam, your thoughts?
Oh, man. Shit, I was in the middle of pinning it. Just gave him a comment.
Uh-huh.
So that is, like, this is very understated, too, and deep to the bone. Man, you guys got some gifts, man. Like, it's, I love it. Uh-huh. I love it. Like, it's thought-provoking, too, because how AP was saying the way he speaks on himself, other people, and then directly to somebody else. It's like, wow. You know, at first I'm thinking, tell the brokenhearted. So this is somebody saying, tell, like, you know, tell other people that, you know, that feel the same pain, you know, tell, you know, that I was here too, that I feel, you know, that I can feel such crushing things, and I'm crushed. And then, like, the reference at the end that was brought up really hit me hard too. Just tell me that this ends, you know, because he's not, the longing is just stretching on for, you know, for so long that it just never, it is never ending longing to feel that much love for someone. And there, apparently there was some event aspect too, because the action of the glass crashing to the floor, not necessarily maybe metaphor, but I think it's very striking against the rest of the way the poem is written, because there's an action there of, like, something happening between. So there's this glass with the cherry wine. Very thought-provoking, and just the feeling, the overall feeling of it, though, is so powerfully just grippingly dragging to the depths of your heartbreak, man. I don't ever know if it does get better.
Thank you, Adam. Thank you.
So I'm going to do something because, you know, unfortunately I get to run this show. It's mine. Outside the realm. But about 6 weeks ago, I think maybe even just a month ago, I ran a contest with both AP and Adam. Got awarded one. Adam wrote this for that contest, although he never got it in because he happened to get sick. So I haven't read it. And I'm going to read it because it was a beautiful, beautiful poem. And I don't even think he remembers sending it to me. But this is called The Words I Will Never Say. Take those things that drown my soul and let it breathe just one more time. Remember that as the wind began telling me you're mine. Tell me things I wish to hear and then whisper to me as you draw near. Memories that took me. What it was I once believed. Hold me once forevermore, pretend you might have tried. Buy me with silver spade and watch me die inside. Bow your head when you think of me and how I wrote my poetry that ends days and nights too long and silence that now sings songs. I wander through the thoughts of you, wondering how to get back home. I found a piece of yesterday, cold and all alone. It speaks the words that haunt my days, the words I promise I would never say. I don't believe in love anymore. And Pam. So that was that was a contest entry written by one Jay Hatter, and it would have done very well in my contest if he wouldn't have gotten sick. I wanted you to know that, Hatter, that I love this poem. I thought it was beautiful. And I just kind of put it out there for everybody to read. So, AP, what do you think of this one?
Well, it's sort of classic Hatter, isn't it, really? You know, where you sort of take those things that drown my soul and let it breathe just one more time. So there's a real classic writing technique of starting long and then filling those bits in between with the bits that you want to focus on. And so Hatter here does that twice. He does it with the first two lines and then lines 7 and 8. And what he does is draw attention to those stanzas 2 and 4 that set up the rest of the poem, you know. And it's a very clever piece of structure in terms of how it's set up. And it's something that Hatter does when he's in form, for want of a better word, because he sets up a scene very, very well with not a lot of words. Because we have sorrow unless you're missing something. And you can't have something missing unless you work out it was there in the first place. And that's what he does in this poem.
Oh, maybe sound better than I am. Thank you, AP. Thank you, sweet.
And you're welcome. Bracken, who are your thoughts?
See, the brilliance in this, I think, just starts in the title alone. You want to talk about a writer's trick. He's got that elephant in the room. You know, the words I'll never say. It's like, okay, wait a minute now. Everyone's going to be trying to figure out what words he's talking about. And then he launches into the whole poem and the idea of it to support the thought and the feeling and the emotion behind it without actually saying the words. You know, because that to me is also something that's a delicate dance. You know, he puts the thought out there. You know, I'm not going to say it, but yet you know exactly what he's talking about without him having to say it, and that in itself is a wonderful trick if you could ever manage it. So just that alone is beautiful. Like Sweet mentioned, that the whole thing is absolutely gorgeous.
Thank you, Rack.
Absolutely. And Adam, your thoughts?
Yeah. I've really been in like a reading phase lately too. So, I'm happy to be I think I've maybe caught Hatter once before and was like, it was so impressive, and it was actually dauntingly good. That I was like, man, I you know, on the fly, I was not. It was because it was a different piece. I mean, this was like months ago. This was like 5 months ago, and it might have. I don't even know what space I was at, but I remember thinking, this guy is so good. I need to see more, and then I never did. You know, like that old thing. But you know, being reacquainted, it's like his heartbreak speaks to me. And outside of everything that everybody else said, I just personally, like, I'm thrilled to. You know, read more Hatter because this that heartbreaking stuff is really speaking to me.
Thank you, Adam. Very much.
And Adam, did you get a poem on the board?
No, not yet.
Gotta pay attention.
Huh?
I'm demanding, aren't I? I'm demanding.
No, I mean, I was just in the middle of looking, and I'm not sure. You know, I just started looking just now, like, and I want it to be appropriate for this PG-13.
Yeah, that does happen.
I do
cannot
have to be
mention certain things that I could be meant. Yeah, I'm just trying to make sure things. Okay, how about this? I think this is. Oh man, some things, you know, like one reference might just be too dodgy sometimes. I think this,
yeah,
might work. This might be okay. All right, let me try this one.
Okay.
If not, you know, I'll get my first warning. It's what it is.
We'll see how it goes, right?
Yeah. Okay. Let me post on the board for you. All righty then. Okay.
Alrighty,
usually I'm
then
much quicker at this stuff because I'm not doing it on my phone. So it's just, all right.
Yeah.
This is called Cobwebbed Tears. Sweep me as cobweb from the corner of your dry, calloused eye, crusted in the cresting rise of ambivalence, gathering mountainous and copious neglect. Why would I ever wish to be carelessly thought of by anyone of the likes of you? Looks fade, sometimes faster than they actually do. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. You look like a Las Vegas red-eye flight I made in the after-kiss of passe wishes, just as the ball dropped in New York City nighttime, pissing away life for the just a good time. A dangerous liaison. What happens in Vegas stays, right? And that's why my eyes don't think you're beautiful. I love and see beauty for the insides. Looks fade, sometimes before they do. End peace.
That's gorgeous.
Okay.
Yeah,
you don't have
really
to say anything because I know. Yeah, it's kind of wacky, I guess.
No, I really love the phrases in here. You look like a Las Vegas red-eyed flight I made in the after kiss of a passe wishes. Oh, wow. A dangerous liaison. What happens in Vegas stays, right? And that's why
that's
I'm going to have something beautiful. Wow. I mean, this is just, metaphorically, it's stunning. And I really mean that. I think you nailed some great metaphors about, hey, your ugliness just shines far, far brighter than your beauty. And I think it's something that a lot of you know, people don't always see, is that their ugliness shines way before their beauty fades. I thought it was a great piece. AP, your thoughts?
Yeah, looks fade sometimes faster than they actually do. Isn't that true? You know, the memories seem to go remarkably quickly and fade remarkably quickly and get tangled up with stuff, and before you know it, you know, what you're thinking of is nowhere near what you thought it was. And I actually think it's a wonderful way of summarising the world, really. Looks fade sometimes before they do. Enjoyed it.
Thanks.
Yeah. Rack and tour.
Yeah, it hammers home that idea about, you know, when someone opens their mouth but they don't have anything to say. You know, it's like there's someone that's pretty to look at, but, you know, the minute they open their mouth, you realize that they're not all not much more than what you can see. You know, everything is on the surface, like a puddle. You never know how deep it is or anyway, I liked it. I thought it was cool.
And how do you
feel? Yeah, beauty lies in the eyes of the beholder, right? Yeah, and then questioning of Vegas, does it really stay in Vegas? I like the way we pieced it together. Questions asked throughout the poem. Dangerous liaison, what happens in Vegas stays, right? Right? You're waiting for the
acknowledgement. Yeah. Not quite.
No.
Thanks,
definitely not what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, trust me.
So that, yeah, I thought that was clever, kind of that linking that metaphor between the stylization of it, you know, that's why it's kind of more like a mini stanza, because it's one big metaphor for risking it all for just something beautiful. It's a fleeting thing, and then when you actually realize it's not beautiful at all,
because they don't give a F about anything but themselves or something, you know, that idea. And then, as AP had said, it's basically most people in the world are this way. So, you know, really cherish the people that love you for you. Just definitely cherish the people that love you for you. And basically this is me saying I'm not going to waste my time anymore on people that just want to treat people like this in general. And they're not beautiful. I don't care how you look. You could be anybody. And then, and what I'm saying, too, is the juxtapose is also true. People that don't think they're beautiful, and that makes them less than anyone, God awful. I mean, and this, people feel that way because the opposite is true. You have these beautiful people who are ugly creatures, monsters, who create this false image of that's what it means to be a human being. What it means to be a human being is having GD heart.
Yep.
Anyway.
Well, I agree. I love your passion about that. It is. It takes a lot of heart to be true and to be passionate and to be everything you're supposed to be. I thought it was great.
Sorry, I don't know why I came with this one. I just thought it was different.
I liked it a lot. I thought it was really a cool vibe. All right, I'm going to throw another one of my wicked ones, my calm and wicked ones. Open poetry. Yes, a heart's knowledge. She felt the storm and the ache of her left shoulder and smelled the pending destruction and taint of the salty air. And the sea had darkened to shades of the bruise on the second day. Storms and liars with various creatures, tricksters who play coy with their prey. Slow and steady or wicked and quick, a path of devastation lay in their wake, without an ounce of shade. Skies black as the raven's feathers, thundered as the crow crawled. Raindrops began to drip drop and fall in teardrop memories. She hoped this time she could cry out all the pain. The storms hailed, shattered glass, machine gun sounds blasted at the wooden shield. Inner battles raged on as she screamed profanities at her weakness, her glass slippered dreams. She swallowed the knowledge of betrayal and trapped it deep inside her heart, but it festered, and she became the storm, leaving destruction in the path of all who loved her. End poem.
Oh man!
Was that posted? I didn't skip that. Was that posted? Shoot.
Yeah,
oh, you know what?
Voice.
Did I post that?
Oh, okay.
Oh,
my bad. Shoot.
Yep.
I was like, did I forget? I might have.
No, it's
not
there.
All
it's
right.
There. Just my phone wouldn't.
Oh, sorry, Hatter. All right, there we go.
That was beautiful.
Thank you.
You're starting. Rap, comment, please.
Yeah, I kind of got a little derailed when Hannah was asking about the thing being posted. But, I mean, you know, she's got a way of ripping your heart out. I don't know. She leaves me speechless.
My
Adam,
tongue queen,
do you
my tongue queen.
Yeah. I'm right there with, you know, and it's what a shame, you know, that when, let it be, you know, that we sometimes, through our pain, begin to induce it in anyone, you know, else,
mm-hmm.
Maybe by accident or that end there. Was the most poignant, I think, because it brought it back around. And it was almost like you kind of feel like, well, F it. You know, at least she's strong enough to, like, you know, not fall or be hurt like that again. Like, you feel like, well, I'm glad. I hope she doesn't get hurt again. But, dang, she's hurting people that try to love her now. And, dang, just dang. This is beautiful. This is the words, the crafting, the metaphor. It's all powerful. And if I look at the picture, and I think of like Tinkerbell, how much like she loved Peter Pan, but she couldn't be with him because he was a man and she was a fairy. And I don't know. It was weird, you know, her obsession with him. But I feel like she got smacked and was crushed, you know, and like she has this injury. And then like there's so many great things in this.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And Pat up. Did you want to say words?
Yeah, I just regret it. Directed back to the picture. That's odd. I love the storms, hailed, shattered glass, and machine gun sounds blasted at a wooden shield. In her battles raged on as she screamed profanities at her weakness. For glass slipper dreams.
Mom.
Yeah, how dare you? How dare you have such feelings? Man.
Been hanging out with you for long.
Yeah, well, you have a knack of touching that softness of the heart and then tearing it out. you pull no punches.
Yeah.
From
yes. It lies heavy. Oh, yeah, but how to sort of dances along the top of the tune, and then before you know it, you sort of are under the cellos. Your way of doing because we know that you're in the midst of the storm, and we know you're in the midst of the orchestra. You're right at the pit of it, absorbing it all up. The difference is that Hatter would sort of wistfully sort of say, well, it was nice that I listened to the cellos, whereas you'll basically say, those fucking cellos, and I really hate them, and I'm going to keep that back.
Yeah, this is very true. I am kind of that way. Oh, this is great. All right, Doman, I've done my rounds, my double round, and Miss Deborah Lee is not going to make it. She's got stuck in some major traffic and things like that. I just wanted her to drive safe home. Oh, goody. I need that finishing poem, so let's do the quirky.
Oh, I have an analogy to...
It's quirky. It's quirky, if you look at the shape this week, it is in the form of a knight from a chessboard. This is...
Oh, you and your shape.
Street sweepers. Don't forget. Knights rarely return. Their moves trail as leaves. Buildings pass the black ones. A chessboard weave. Cornering is a feature, patterns to see. Fires to burn in wild creatures, street sweepers. Sky navy turns, plane held curfew. Sucked ears, grinding letters, gearbox new. Still lights pattern, blow white blue. L-shaped worm, night features, street sweepers. All of slowed in body's dread, sleeping wire at ink white red. Outpaces curve. S pieces led. Night readies to go as past aside sequence. By night. Street sweepers. In poem.
Okay, first off, I know you just wrote this 12 minutes ago, so it blows my mind.
Never
thought of that.
I really like
the dream.
Yeah, no, I really like this. I need to turn these things up because he took screen. There actually haven't held like patterns. I want to say sirens, but I think this is really cool because you just keep talking about, I like all have flowed in body stretch, sleeping wired ink, white, red. Outpaces, curves, chest, pet leases, lead. It's like this game we're playing. And in the night, it all gets picked up by the dream keepers or the sweet sleepers or all of that fun stuff. So I have no idea if I'm right. This is the way I'm reading it because you always play games with my head. But I love L-shaped warm night teachers, street sweepers. I really do. It's just, that's how I feel. It's like we go through the day and we go through all of this, we go through that, we lay down, and it's all just kind of wiped away by the night things. It also reminds me of a character in a Stephen King novel. And he is actually, I cannot remember the name of the book, which is horrible, but he is the little boy in The Shining, and I think it's the story of Tom Gordon, so I'm not quite sure.
He wrote a novel.
Is that what it is? Yeah, so it kind of reminds you of his role. I don't know why, but it does strike me that way. So it's kind of the story of him growing up, and that, for some reason, this strikes me like him. So you probably have no reference to that, but this piece reminds me of him.
Hmm.
So, yes. Rock, your thoughts.
Yeah, I like the play on words. I don't know if he did it with the spelling or not, but, you know, in the beginning when he mentions night, and then chessboard, because, you know, night mm-hmm. could be night and night could be night.
Yep.
And yep. When he talks about L-shape, that's the way that the night moves, so yep. he incorporates that into the street sweepers. And so he carries that thought throughout, but it's kind of hidden a little bit, which is, you know, beautiful. And those are the little things that AP does that I so enjoy. When he picks on things like that are normally overlooked, that there's a beauty in that, and in incorporating it in a way that it just seems to fit. It's like I forget who the architect was, but you know when they first decided that you know it's going to be a function of the not just something dropped on the landscape. It's going to be part of the landscape. You know that idea. Of incorporating it rather than, you know, making it stand out, I think works so beautifully with language. So I really enjoyed it for that.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you.
Sorry.
And Adam, your thoughts?
Yeah, okay, so for 12 minutes, that's impressive that he got the shape and everything. And the puns, the using of the game, he's actually, this is like, I think I'm in the middle of my comment right now. I'm going to try to like not use what I'm writing in my comment, in my live comment. I was so impressed by this, AP. It's probably my favorite thing I've ever seen you, I've seen from you, and I've seen maybe about three or four so far. And
yep.
This is such clever, daft wit in this because it is the game between the White Knight and the Black Knight. And if you think of Jung theory of the White Knight sort of false mantle or fallacy that men tend to take on, this is someone who either is, and there's also the Dark Knight, which is a different sort of abusive narcissist type. They like to hurt people. It's different. But anyhow, I'm getting shades of that, shade and then direct, like, and like I feel like it's a challenge to false knights. Maybe even a challenge to wake up, stop trying to be a white knight, because this is just a game anyways, right? I don't know. It had me thinking. It had me ruminating in thought. It was brilliant.
Thank you.
And Hannah, my darling.
Did you say Hannah?
Yes, I did, darling.
17 minutes ago, it says. You didn't start reading it until 20 minutes ago. How's that happen? I got what Jack was saying. The play on words with the knights. I do that a couple times and think sometimes I'm the only one that gets it. So I noticed that too. What was the other play? The term street sweepers just all of a sudden, it's the first time I ever thought of it as sweeping the dreams
that climb out the window. I don't know. It was a, you know, the dreams of unbroken, what is it, broken dreams? Broken dreams on.
Yep. Yep.
I can't think of the title. The Green Day song, I think.
Boulevard of Broken Dreams.
Yeah, yep. Boulevard of Broken Dreams. Thank you very much.
Yep.
Excellent.
My shadow is the only
so
one that walks beside me. Is this Jilted Love? Is this like, wow, this is an awesome, this is, dude, you killed it at dropping this in the end.
AP, by the way,
that's
if you don't know, if
too.
Something's stressed, AP will do is like he likes a poem, like a line in your poem. By the end of the show, he'll have written a whole poem about the line in your poem he likes.
Oh. He does that through years,
so
he, too?
He's kind of like that. Oh, yeah, he does this all the time.
AP is king of
the all the time. He's like, oh, yeah, that looks good.
Street Sweeper.
I
love that, dude. I love how you turn that into like a menacing idea that just makes you think of night. It's nighttime. That's when the street sweepers are out. The images of days and the day to night. Man, because I just keep thinking it's nighttime. I'm sorry. I shut up.
That's right. I'm almost nauseated by the praise you're giving him. Sometimes it's a little too much for his head. So we have to back up and stop it, just so that you know.
Okay, I'll cut my hand again. You know, it's like.
And he knows I'm absolutely just kidding him, but yeah, he's brilliant. He's a brilliant, brilliant poet. Brilliant man. I mean, he goes out and saves the world. Let's see. What else have we got going on? Hey, what's going on in all poetry this week? Are you guys doing anything Friday, Saturday? What's the big deal, guys?
Friday is I'm revisiting. It'll be I'm sorry. Let's start over. It's Friday the 13th, the first of the year, the unbirthday party. Everybody's non-invited.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to hit
visit
the Wrecking Crew again. I did it one night a long time ago, and it's so much there, information there. I'm going to revisit that. If you don't know who the Wrecking Crew is or the phenomenon of, join in. It'll fascinate you. It's a secret that
Love
was kept by many,
crew.
Many, many people. Yeah, and they do not talk about it to this day. So Friday, Wrecking Crew at 11 Eastern. All right. No, what time?
Yeah, it is.
Eleven
Eastern Standard.
Eleven.
No, are you going
Eastern,
on at 10? Yeah, it's either
at
10 or 11 Eastern Standard.
At 10.
Have to see what time you want. That's 10. Okay. So, Saturday night. What's the subject, guys?
Saturday night this week is my choice this week, and I'm going to go because we're on air with you. With the second definition of the word, which is extreme malice and bitterness shown in someone's attitude, speech, or actions, which, of course, is venom. That's
venom.
From.
Venom.
Yeah, that's
the
right.
Venom.
I won't be there Saturday night. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I don't
be there or
now.
Not.
Like a woman storm.
Well, you have spiders or scorpions or any other sort of prey, really. You don't. Rise. You don't have to hurt snakes.
Or the wickedness that comes out of my mouth when I'm angry.
Wombats have poison. It's fine.
I can be pretty wicked. Yeah, don't make me too angry. Mm-hmm. I love the Wrecking Crew. I love that. That is one of my favorite musical mysteries where every band, I mean every greatest guitarist, rock and roll star, whatever, started in this little band playing background for pretty much every album you listen to in the 1960s and 70s, they played the background for. And that's crazy that there were so many of them in the Wrecking Crew. I watched the documentary the last time you told us to.
I just can tell a little bit that there's a famous, I think it's David Grohl. He said how disappointed he was that growing up, his three favorite drummers that inspired him to become a drummer was the same guy. Piece that one together. That's what the Wrecking Crew is about, and I hope everybody just joins in.
Yeah. That's amazing. All right, guys, we're going to head out of here, and we are going to head out of, and Adam, I'm not sure if you know that, but one of the songs that we do as we head out of here is Words I Cannot Say, which actually was written by Jay Hatter, and it's sung by Shout Even Shy. So I'm going to play that song as we head out for the night, so Hatter can close his eyes and go to sleep. But I really appreciate every single one of you for being here. And it was a beautiful night, guys. Thank you so much for hanging out with me.
Good show.
Great time.
Yeah, I had a good
sweet discussion.
So,
thanks, Blake.
Thank you guys very much. Oh, wait, I got to find this. I got to find your song, Hatter.
Thank you for using Block Talk Radio. Goodbye.
That's not what I want. This is going to make me mad. I know. Why isn't that doing? Hatter, why is your song not coming out?
Intro. It could be intro. Put Hatter intro.
Oh, is that what it is?
I believe so. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's it. It says sweet intros, rack intros, Alice intro. So that's not it. That's your other Alice song. Let me try shouting and try.
Yeah, it could be Shout.
There it goes. It's under Shout Even Shy. All right, guys.
Yeah,
there you go. Head out. Say goodnight. All right, listen to Hatter's song. Bang.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, trying to run away. I'm watching broken promises.
great show, sweet.
Thanks. Bye, guys.